Hi everyone, welcome to the EXO podcast. I'm Liana Lewis and my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Kaylin Pack and my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Liana Haggis, pronouns she, her.
And I'm Lucy Leibowitz and my pronouns are she, her.
We apologize sincerely for having two Lianas. It's really confusing, but Liana British one and Liana American one.
Yeah, I think hopefully people will be able to tell. I will mostly be behind the scenes anyways, so you just get to enjoy British Liana's beautiful voice.
So the XO podcast, I know you guys want to hear all about what we are. So we are a podcast that's mostly going to be focusing on love, sex, and sexuality for college students, and it can be people of all ages, but college specifically because, you know, it's just such a weird time and you're meeting so many new people and so many things are just new. So, you know what? New podcast for all of us confused college students. Yes. And we are especially going to be highlighting marginalized communities, LGBTQ plus students, and having guest speakers in all of our episodes, except this one, because it is our first and you are meeting us right now.
We are all guest speakers today.
We are.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. Okay. I think we're going to start each of the episodes with one of the 36 questions that lead to love. Mm-hmm. And they get increasingly more kind of deep and existential, so look forward to that. But for today, I think the one is, given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
Are we going fictional characters included?
Yes.
Fictional characters included.
Yeah, okay. I want to say for the record, I hate this question. I absolutely despise it because it's such a test. It's a trap.
It's not a test.
It is a trap.
I think that's the point.
It could be casual.
Okay, you go first.
I'm going first.
Yeah.
Well, I had one prepared, not to cheat on this, and that was Freddie Mercury because I love him and I cry every single day that I never got to meet him. But now that fictional characters are included, I might have to say Will Herondale of the Shadowhunter books because he was my first crush.
And really?
Oh my god.
It would be a little more than just a dinner. So.
I feel like who is your first crush is such a telling question.
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll get to that. Don't even worry about it.
That's a good one.
Keep listening.
Yeah. If you want to find out who everyone's first crush was.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't have one prepared, so I'm just going to say Zendaya because she's an icon I just want to meet her.
Good answer.
And I think I would require that she came in one of her Met Gala outfits so I could try them.
Which one?
See, that's such a hard question, but I do like the moment where she was Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc was the best one.
It was so good. But also the really big yellow dress. I don't remember
that
what the
was
theme
good.
Was.
That was good too.
Oh, and the most recent one with the Cinderella dress that like lit up. Okay, anyway, how about you?
Okay, I think my go-to answer would be Conan O'Brien, but I just saw a photo of Zoe Kravitz. You know, guys from like the Batman?
Oh, yeah.
She was wearing the cat gown. And oh my god, she just looks so.
This is really just purely based on outfits.
Yes! We just want people to bring their clothes.
This is just us being in love with people, and that's okay.
And that's what this is.
Also,
this is all
please
about.
Name a hotter couple than Zoe Kravitz and Robert Pattinson.
Oh my god,
I dare you.
You literally can't.
Literally. Okay, Liana,
no.
What about you?
Oh my god. No.
oh my gosh. Well, I really just, my always and forever number one is Ariana Grande.
Really?
She's always my number one on Spotify. She's always number one in my heart.
Yeah. Amazing.
Okay.
Great. That, amazing.
Are we doing
first of the 36 questions to fall in love.
There
I
we
can't
go.
Wait to fall in love with all of you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Each and every one of you.
I can't wait for all of you listeners to fall in love with us. Okay, are we doing a song that defines love and sex for you?
I think, yeah, that's definitely...
That's important.
Another sort of get to know you that we wanted to do for this episode.
We'll usually only do one question, I think, but we wanted you guys to, like, get to know us a little. We wanted to get into
it. Let's go reverse order this time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Liana H.
It has to be an Ariana Grande song.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are so many choices for Ariana Grande. So... Some of my favorites that are just, like, quintessential, give me those love, cute feelings, is Good Night and Go. Mm-hmm. Moonlight, absolutely. Didn't Know I Could Hold Moonlight in My Hands Until the Night I Met You. Like, yeah. And it really doesn't but doesn't get better than that. So that's it for me.
Amazing.
I think for me, I really like, what is it, Snow Allegra, Fool for You. And it's just so sweet and charming, but, and wistful. Like, she has her bounds, like, about her, but she, I don't know, it's just, I feel like it captures that feeling of, especially, like, having a crush and just realizing that, oh, wait, I do have a type, low-key. No, it's just so cute, it's so cute.
Okay, well, I was talking about earlier how I'm genuinely tone deaf and totally musically illiterate. Like, I used to get shit from my friends at home at all times because I really don't listen to music. Like, it feels like everyone these days, like, yeah, I feel like everyone's listening to music, and that's just, like, very much not a thing I did. But over the summer between college and, like, high school for me, I got more into it, and I spent this, like, amazing summer away with my friends. And so, like, definitely a platonic love song is A-OK by Ty Verdes.
That comes on.
It has the most amazing, like, summer vibes, yeah. And it just, it represents everything where it's, like, friendship is so comforting and warm and, like, amazing summer, like, in Scotland with my favorite people kind of vibes, and it's, like, you know, it just feels so loving.
Yeah.
It's just, like, you're gonna be okay. Like, what is a better message than that? I'm tearing up.
It's like, such a good song.
Yeah. And the turn to platonic love, beautiful.
That's
a good one. That is really good. And now Walk Backwards by Maud Latour is a really good platonic love song. But that just, Liana's answer made me think of that. That wasn't my original song. So my go-to sex music is Cage the Elephant.
Cage the Elephant?
Just because I had this thing where, like, I would always used to have sex in the silence because I just thought, like, listening to the music I liked was cringy as shit. Like, I'd be like, why are we having sex to Mumford & Sons right now? Why are we listening?
Well, that is a good question. I don't know.
It's not why are we having sex to music. It's why are we having sex to Mumford & Sons.
Well, you know, I like Mumford & Sons. So I don't know what to say. I'm like, why is Green Light by Lorde playing and where
the issue is do you have a bad sex playlist or had a bad sex playlist?
Well, that's why when I started having sex with women, then I could listen to anything. So maybe I just am a lesbian. I don't know. But for a long time, Cage the Elephant was my sex music, and that's what I was trying to get at. But the song that I chose is Woman by Mumford & Sons.
Oh my god.
Wait for this?
It was such a
180
full circle. But Woman doesn't sound like other Mumford and Sons songs. It's very chill. The
She's
vibes
not
are chill.
Like other girls.
She's not like other girls, not at all. And that just, I think, no, it's not really like sex. It's just like a kind of like relationshipy song for me. Like that's feels right for this. That's all.
We should make like a playlist. So
we should make a sex and love.
Oh my god.
Platonic love, romantic love, sex.
Yeah,
playlist.
Amazing. Yeah. I feel like having a communal sex playlist though. Do you have to think about the people that you made the playlist with when the playlist is playing?
I feel like it won't really be you. Like be like played when somebody's having sex. I think it's just fun to see what people think are sex songs.
Exactly.
Mumford
Maybe
and Sons.
If we have a submit feature, submit your favorite song to have sex to.
Yeah.
There we go.
We'll make a little sex playlist. I know not everyone has theirs. I certainly don't have one. All right. So the first topic that we want to get into is like different definitions of love and just like what love means to us, especially again, like coming into college. And every single episode, we will have like some sort of cohesive theme that we'll get into after our fun and fresh little question for you guys. This episode, we're getting into definitions of love. And we wanted to start off with just what love means to each of us. Yeah. Like our own personal definition of love, just because I think it is something that is unique to every person. Like every person has a different idea of what love should be, what it is. Yeah, so
who wants to start? Oh.
We're all looking at Liana. Which Liana?
Well, I mean, I like just as you were speaking, I started thinking, oh my god, I've never actually thought about that, because I think it, at least for me, it really is more of like a something I feel in my body almost. It's like at some point, once I like know somebody and feel really comfortable around them, and I really like enjoy their personality and we get along really well, like this switch just kind of flips, and then like I just feel like more affectionate with that person. I don't know. There's like, I don't know if it's some sort of like threshold that has to be passed of like how much time we've hung out or how much we get along, but I feel like all at once it just sort of switches over for me and I'm like, oh my God, I love you. Yeah. I don't know. So that tends to happen.
It's a hard one though. Like that threshold is so hard to like determine. I know. I was having a conversation about like trust in relationships and things like that. So I think like loving relationships have a lot to do with trust, because like, you know, like going into college, I'm a first year. So it's like, you know, you have your like first, like not fight, but disagreement with someone where you both need like a little bit of time to cool off and you're still learning. Like, you know, I'm very much someone who like does not need time to cool off. I need constant loving support, and otherwise I'll think you hate me. I definitely have friends who are like, you know, just give me my space and we'll like circle back to each other. But like, loving relationships are relationships where you trust that person to like actually circle back and be like, yeah, I need my space, but like talk to me in 5 hours, talk to me in a day, you know, kind of thing. So I think like loving relationships are trusting relationships.
Okay, I guess it's my turn. So I was reading, I don't think I have a personal definition of love yet, but I read this short pamphlet novel-ish, but All About Love by Bell Hooks. Really great read. Highly recommend. And I think I can agree with the definition of love that she references to, which is love is the act of nurturing one another's spiritual growth. And I feel
so well put.
I know. Yeah. And I think that that's a really great definition for being active and kind of just looking at your relationship with somebody and asking yourself, does this person nourish my spiritual growth, and do I nourish their spiritual growth? And I think I've had cases where I've had like a crush or something, and I'm like, you know, I think they're really cute, all this, that, really attracted to them. But then I think about it, I'm like, do I think that this person could nourish my spiritual growth mutually?
It's almost like, does this spark joy?
I feel like that's really true. All of my crushes.
I know. Honestly, that definition.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. I honestly, that entire book really makes you confront love as it is. Because in that book, they talk about how a lot of the times we settle on, or we kind of accept a concept of love as being super vague and undefinable and just really up in the air. But if you have a solid definition that you can at least refer back to, then you can look at your relationships in a clear light. Like, you can sit down with yourself and think, you know, does this person being this spark phrase
joy.
So much
yeah.
spark joy, nourish spiritual growth, all of that. And if sometimes it's kind of hard because the answer could be not really.
Yeah.
And
you gotta Marie Kondo that person out of your life.
For real.
And it's also like long-term versus short-term gratification, because sometimes someone like can feel so good like in the moment, but you know that it's not going to work out with them long-term, and they're not going to be good for like your person long-term, and then like it really sucks to cut it off, but you gotta let it go. Gotta let that shit go.
But I feel like conversations like this always make me realize like how much I have to learn about like love and loving relationships and things like that. Like, just having a conversation like this and being like, oh, I need to like actually address if people in my life like, you know, nourish my spiritual growth. Like, like Liana was saying, like, usually I'm like, do I like this person? Like, it's just like, I either feel it or I don't.
I'm like, exactly. Like, oh, maybe. Like, some days. Like,
I'm not actively asking myself these questions. But do we need to be actively asking ourselves these questions? Like, built to be doing it intuitively? Do we need to be doing it actively?
I think it's a learning process.
And I think that...
Maybe both.
Yeah, and I think that definition, it's, like, a good starting point. And it's good it's kind of like one of those exercises. You guys know those, what the heck, those Be Well sleep tests, like sleep hygiene. It's like, are you on your phone right before you go to sleep? And I'm like, yes. And then,
who isn't?
Yeah, and it's just kind of like one of those tests where you can kind of, I guess, address the state mm-hmm. of your yeah. love. But it's not, I guess, a be-all, end-all, you know? Everyone has their own standards, but yeah. if you think it's helpful for you.
Yeah, too. Like every once in a while, it's probably worth a check-in.
Yeah,
of, like,
yeah.
the relationships in your life.
Like, a spring clean.
Yeah.
No, like,
oh,
truly.
That's cheesy. Good. I hate it.
What? No, we're honestly, trademarking that.
Yeah. I think it would be good for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
just, like, yeah, do a little spring
yeah.
cleaning.
Yeah. And yeah. it's like that concept of, like, you only have so much time. Why are you giving it to people that don't make yeah. you feel yeah. like your best self? But at the yeah. same time, especially, like, with, like, nostalgia, like, it's like, this person used to be so good for me, and you yeah. can, like, grow out of people. Yeah. But that's also, like, part of the learning curve. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, I've grown out of this person, and I actually need to accept that, and our relationship has changed, and they're not good for me anymore.
Yeah.
But it's hard
yeah.
because you love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is complicated.
I also feel like we feel like we deserve the love that we get. And if you're not, yeah. like, getting the love that you actually do deserve, like, we definitely, like, default to what we used to. Which yeah. is hard to be like, oh, this isn't actually what I deserve,
yeah.
and I need to get myself out of this.
I think that's why college is such a time of, like, reevaluating a lot of relationships and even just, like, in friendships, because you're suddenly away from your childhood, the setting that you've grown up in for, like, the past 18, usually, years, and then all these other people, all these different ideas of love and perspectives. So, yeah, I think everybody is thinking about this stuff, and
yeah
it's good to think about.
Long story short, first semester of college is going to be rough no matter what
yes,
you do.
Yes, first year.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
Even when you're not in a pandemic.
Yeah.
In general. Can we just address that, like, first year is going to be a roller coaster?
Do you guys want to hear my definition?
Yes!
Yes!
I've been pondering, I've been thinking, like, changing it as I've been listening to your definitions, and we've had this, like, mm-hmm. I was thinking about it a little, because my favorite episode of, well, not my favorite episode, but in my top five favorite episodes of my favorite show, Orange is the New Black, it's it's this, like, Valentine's Day episode, and they ask, like, everyone, like, what is love to you? And, like, in the end, Piper is like, it's like coming home. And I actually agree with that. Like, I think that, to me, love is just, like, comfort. It's, like, feeling very comfortable with another person. And I think the concept of love is just difficult in general, because we do love people that are, like, bad for us, or maybe we don't feel comfortable with. Like, yeah. I don't know, if you love a parent but maybe don't feel comfortable telling them something about yourself, then does that apply with the definition of love as comfort? Yeah. But I think that, like, even if I don't feel comfortable in all aspects of my life, like, I just feel at ease, even if there's something
yeah.
that's mm-hmm. like on my shoulder, like, just being is, like, easier. Like, I feel, like, yeah. loved. I think feeling loved is, like, part of it too. It's like this mm-hmm. reciprocation,
I
but
agree.
It's just like
yeah, yeah.
being at home. And I think that's, like, especially in my romantic relationships, like, it's just like a feeling of comfort, like someone you can, like, unwind with after a long day.
Yeah.
But isn't it insane how, like, our loving relationships can just change our moods? I mean, like, I always yeah. joke a little bit that I'm, like, totally codependent with my mother. But, like, sometimes I'm having a bad day and my friends are like, we let you call your mom.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm so glad
you
that that is the answer.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
yeah.
Sometimes a call with my mom really changes things, too. You know, everybody has those sort of people that
yeah.
once
yeah.
you're with them, it's like, you can sort of let go of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your love language? My mom.
Literally. It's so concerning.
No,
that's
but that's really sweet.
R.I.P. Freud. You would have... No, just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Lucy. Lucy, no.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
No,
I love...
Right.
Oedipus complex jokes are my favorite.
Oh, my God.
I just
oh
think
God.
They're the silliest.
I hate Freud.
What?
That's really funny.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Horrific. Wrecked in the first episode.
Oh, my God. Wrong.
Everybody, this is my first and last episode. I am leaving now.
R.I.P. Leanna Lewis.
No.
Yeah. Okay, the next thing that we had was the I love you debate.
Mm. What?
Liana, I think you had a good introduction to this.
Okay. So this was the, like, moving to college and, oh my gosh, is everything that I talk about being a first year? Yes. Okay.
It's a relevant experience.
And just, like, making new friendships, and then, like, one day you're, like, on the phone to a friend and you, like, hang up and you're like, I love you. And then you're like...
So you're like, oh!
Yeah, it's like such a like shit moment.
It's like, are we dating?
But it's like, for some of my friends, it was just like totally normal and they were like, yeah, I love you too. And it's like not a big deal. But it feels like it's such a big deal in romantic relationships. Yeah. But I definitely noticed like a month or two into college, or maybe like 3 or 4 months into college, I was saying like, I love you to my friends. These people that I'd literally known for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So is it a different kind of love? Is it a different, like... Obviously, it's a different kind of love to your romantic relationships, but I don't feel like it's a love that's like so much easier to get to than romantic relationships, because it can be like, you can have friendships that are just as deep as romantic relationships.
Mm.
So what is up with the I love you?
See, I feel like it's because we like, I don't want to be like, we live in a society, but we do live in a society that like does prioritize romantic relationships over platonic relationships, which isn't true. Like I've read things about like restructuring like your views of love and like reconfiguring your like idea of being single. Like we looked into like Emma Watson and her, what was it, like
self-coupled,
and just like the idea that you're never really single because you have all these different relationships. It's just maybe not a romantic relationship, and like we're told that we need to be in a romantic relationship to have worth. So obviously like the emphasis on the I love you, the like, is this a valid romantic relationship, takes so much more to get to, because like societally our platonic relationships aren't like put on that like pedestal of like, this needs to be ideal. But like love like doesn't need to be perfect. So I feel like in platonic relationships, you can acknowledge that and you can like love with your whole heart. But in a romantic relationship, it's like, this needs to be like perfect. And I really need to feel it in my soul before I can like give you that, which I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah. And I think also societally, the I love you step has become a step in relationships.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like there's the I love you step in friendships. Like, it's maybe something that you, like, don't really realize. And then you're like, oh, we're saying I love you to each other, like, kind of thing. But, like, in relationships, it's like the I love you step is definitely a thing. And is there a difference between love you and I love you? Because I feel like there is.
I personally don't mean anything different when I say it. I think I have heard it, like, other people say it or in movies, shows, like, love you is just kind of, like, more offhand, just sort of kind of said, and I love you is, like, more emphasized. I don't know, just because, like, it has another syllable. Like,
training the subject, like,
I also feel like you can say it more intentionally. Like, I love you versus, like, love you, which feels more like a goodbye.
Mm. I think context is important, though. Like, and especially the person who's saying it, because, like, Liana over here, for example, just, like, this American Liana.
Yeah, I still feel like it's me every time.
she, like, just does text like that sometimes, and, like, from a chronic texter, like, chronically online type of person, I'm like, oh god, that means she hates me. like okay, without the AY, I'm like, oh shit,
you're gonna be reading into
she's
my mad,
but like, but ooh, now that I know her well enough, I'm like, I know that that doesn't mean anything, and I know that you love me just as much whether you put an I in front of it or you don't. But for some people, like, it does mean something, and I think that's just like another part of that, to each their own, kind of, like, you have to analyze it, like, with each person.
Yeah.
Well, I have an interesting one, which is that my mom speaks German, and I realized a couple years back that she never says love you to me. She only says liebe dich, which is the German for I love you, which I thought was so interesting, because I don't know if it's conscious, but I don't think she ever really says, like, I love you in English, because I think that's something... I notice she uses it in romantic relationships in her life. Mm-hmm. Like, she used to say it to my dad. She says it to her partner.
Mm.
But she says liebe dich to me and my sister. So it's like, you know, there's like something reserved for her kids.
She's almost differentiating.
Like, yeah. And I don't know if it's conscious or subconscious, but I really liked that. Like, I think that's definitely something that if I do have kids, I would do. Because it's like, you know, you have your own kind of like separate language for family, which just like means something different, you know? Yeah.
And I think it is that difference in cultures, because I feel like, so I'm Korean, my parents are Korean, We're not super verbal in terms of feelings. So I think it took a while. I'm not used to saying I love you still. Like, I don't really say it. I think I say it in a lot of different ways, but not usually straight up like that. But I do have kind of a theory about the difference between the friendship I love you versus the romantic I love you. I think when you have a romantic I love you or a friendship I love you, it's a confirmation that you want this relationship to last, and it's sort of stability. But I think what's different between romantic and relationships and versus friendships is that friendships, for most people, you kind of just get as many friends as you want. You can get them anytime, and you can accumulate friendships. For romantic relationships, most people are monogamous. So it's just one, and then after that one ends, it's the next. So with romantic relationships, I think there's a lot of consideration about and awareness about temporality and the fact, and you're just wondering, you know, is this going to last like a week? Is this going to last like a month, a few months? Or like, you're always thinking about the end. Or not always, but most people, at least when they're starting up, they're always thinking about the end. Or like, oh, is this going to last? I don't know. Which is why I think the I love you is such like, I guess, a lock-in for a lot of people. And I think that's why it's a little more substantial. Or not substantial, what do you call it? It's like...
weighted.
Yeah, it has more weight to it and it has more significance, I think, for romantic relationships, because it's like, I'm in here for the long term, so we're both going to be in it for the long term. While for friendships, you know, it lasts as long as you guys want it to, and it's all good.
That's insane, because I never would have thought of it like that, but that's also so, like, obvious now that you said it. Like, the I love you means more in a romantic relationship, because for most people, it comes with the implication that that's the only person you're saying it to in that context.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's just like you have like an infinite amount of love to just give to your friends, maybe, but like for a romantic partner, it's just like this reserve, this love is like for you, and it takes a lot to like just unleash the floodgates of like this is yours.
Okay, I think that's all of...
I just, like, as a closing point, I really like the distinction we made, like, in terms of just, like, it being different for different people, and I think that's really important, and, like, I think as someone who does love easily and does, like, say things fast and get to things fast, like, I think it's important for me to acknowledge that, like, some people, like, just... we all have different views of, like, what love is, what I love you means, what anything really means.
It's different context.
Yeah, it's just, like... another facet of just like life being so complicated and like every definition of everything being so individualized and like something that's different for each person. Like the I love you and the weird debate about it is like just another one of those things that it's like it's so different for each person, and that's really important to acknowledge.
And I think sometimes it like warrants a conversation. If you're in a relationship with somebody and you're like, What does this mean to you? Because it means something different to me. Like, let's hash it out. And then it just reduces, like, so much tension.
Yeah.
Communication.
Yeah. That's the answer to everything. Yeah.
So, to summarize, sprinkle in your heart. If Emma Watson can be so coupled, you can too. Communicate and have sex to Mumford and Sons.
That's what
so
I learned.
True.
Those are the last ones.
No, definitely have sex to Woman by Mumford and Sons.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's like the good Mumford and Sons sex song.
And
we would just like to plug the first ever print edition release for the magazine that we are affiliated with, EXO Magazine on College Hill. That's going to be April 15th, 2022. So do not forget your print edition release of EXO Magazine, because if you love this podcast, then you will certainly love that. It'll be amazing.
And also on April 15th, we'll be dropping our first full-length episode. We're going to have some guests up in here. We're going to talk about a new topic, bring to light some different experiences. We're all very excited.
Woo! Thank you for listening to the first episode, and we hope that you guys stick around.
XOXO!